Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Thanks so much for joining us on all of our Season 3 adventures. From gazing down at Earth on a shuttle in outer space to finding wonder in their own backyards, our guests have told us some incredible stories about the natural world. This summer, I hope you're able to get outside and have some adventures of your own. After today's episode, we'll be taking a break from new stories until we bring you Season 4 in September. In the meantime, we'll be sharing some of our favorite episodes from the past 3 seasons each week. It's going to be great. Today's guest is a longtime friend of the show. Cy Montgomery is a naturalist and author who has an incredible ability to make friends with animals. You've heard about her friendships with octopuses and turtles. And today, Cy is going to transport us to her home in New Hampshire. You might even hear her dog barking in the background sometimes.
So we have a great old farmhouse. It's not the oldest house on the street by any means, but it's, 150 years old. It's a white farmhouse with green shutters. We have 8 acres. We have a pasture, which my husband mows. And we have a brook in back and some forest and a whole bunch of milkweed for the butterflies. And a big, nice barn that has had all kinds of animals in it. And as a barn-warming gift, when we actually bought the place, one of my dearest best friends gave me a flock of chickens to complete the picture.
Today, we're going to be learning all about chickens. What do you know about chickens? Well, you probably know that they lay eggs and often live in chicken coops on people's farms or even in their backyards. And you might have heard some silly stories about chickens running around and getting into trouble, kind of like Heihei, the little chicken in the movie Moana. Chickens' brains are pretty small, so lots of people think that they must not be very smart. Cy has a different opinion.
Guess what? We all walk around with a computer that fits in our back pocket, which proves that anything can be miniaturized and size doesn't matter. It turns out birds are very, very smart, and we have now come to our senses and found the ways to recognize this. Now, I think one reason that people feel that chickens aren't that smart is that if their heads are chopped off, they can continue to run around. Well, I think this is an amazing talent. That, to me, is not proof that you're stupid. That's awesomely cool. But they are so smart that now we've devised the tests that show us that each chicken can remember 100 different faces, at least. You know, half the time I go to a book signing and I see somebody from another town in this town and I can't even recognize them. A chicken would know.
It turns out that chickens have lots of talents and abilities that prove that they're smarter than some people give them credit for. Not only can chickens easily recognize people, but they also have a very distinct social order in their flocks. It's called a pecking order, and it's the way that chickens decide who the boss is. It also means that all the chickens have their own job and their own place in their little chicken society.
It's really more about order than pecking, and everyone knows his or her place in his or her community. That's important. That's important to us as humans. We have a role to play in our workplace, in our families, in our neighborhoods, and so do chickens. So they're actually gifted in ways that we are not, and they're also very affectionate. They remember the past. They anticipate the future. Roosters even pass the famous psychological mirror test, which is supposed to be like a test of self-awareness. Which many animals do not.
You see, I told you you'd hear Cy's dog barking. Because chickens are so aware of their relationships to one another, it's no surprise that they're also able to talk to one another. And it turns out that their chicken communication can be pretty advanced and complicated.
For the longest time, whenever an animal had something to say, people thought, or scientists thought, that it was just like grunting or saying ouch when you're poked, that it was just expressing some inner thing, almost by accident, this noise would fall out of their mouth. We now know that chickens have very specific messages that they give to each other, and that they aren't just expressions of an internal state. They will warn other chickens of a predator. They will not say anything if there's no other chickens around. So they're not just saying like, ah, a predator, like you might say to yourself alone. They are saying to the rest of their flock, watch out, there's a predator. And not just there's a predator. They'll tell the rest of the flock if it's a predator from the air and if it's coming quickly, or if it's a predator from the ground. They have totally different vocalizations. And this couple, the Evanses from Australia, have cataloged at least 24 very specific calls that they have. But sometimes a particular chicken will invent a vocalization that only he or she says, and often only says to a particular person or chicken. And I have observed this myself, and I've heard this from folks who keep other flocks.
That's super interesting. Chickens will have specific calls that they bawk out to specific people. It's almost like they give people names. This demonstrates how different chickens can have completely different personalities. And Sai says that this isn't only true chicken to chicken. She's also noticed that there can be a lot of personality differences between entire chicken flocks as a whole.
I am thoroughly convinced that each flock has its own culture. And I know this because on our property we had our flock, but then we had a tenant who lived in part of our house, and she brought with her her flock. And these two flocks were absolutely totally different. My flock of contented, calm, peaceful chickens who hardly ever pecked each other. Even their molts were like not a big deal. I called mine the ladies. She called hers the rangers. And the rangers were ready to rumble. These would scream at and insult my chickens. They would stamp their scaly feet on the ground. They would drag their wings on the ground as if threatening. And my ladies, as a result, they just move next door, and I hardly ever saw them except at night during the whole time that the rangers were in residence.
Oh dear, poor ladies. But these rangers sound like an interesting group of chickens, and their owner was able to observe a lot of fascinating behaviors.
The ranger's person, Elizabeth, paid a lot of attention to her individual chickens, and she was aware of two chickens who said one particular thing just to her. One chicken said duff, 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 and never said it to anyone else, and no other chicken said duff, 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 but this chicken said duff, duff, duff. Another woman who I know, her name is Melissa, and she actually wrote a wonderful book called How to Speak Chicken. She had a head hen named Tilly and had a wonderful blog called Tilly's Nest. Tilly is gone now. But Tilly invented this vocalization, which she figured out was Melissa's name. And she only said it when Melissa was coming. It almost sounded like, bah, 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 bah. It almost sounded like a trumpet announcing the arrival of a queen. But interestingly, Tilly taught this to other chickens. And they would say that when Melissa and only Melissa would approach the coop.
That's amazing. What do you think your chicken name would be? I think mine would sound something like this. Of course, I need an actual chicken to make sure I'm getting it right. As Sai observed her ladies, she noticed other chicken talents. For instance, the moment that Sai's friend Gretchen gave her the chickens, the birds were really good at finding their way around the farm and knowing their place.
When I first brought the chicks that Gretchen had raised in her trailer to our house, I was really worried I'd let them out to free range and they'd just disappear into the woods and I'd never see them again. And I asked Gretchen, you know, how will they know that they live here now? And she said, don't worry, they just will. Somehow, by the end of the day, all the chickens came right back, went into their coop, knew just where they were. And scientists have now discovered that chickens are spatial geniuses, that even like very young chicks are able to remember where food has been hidden by using different landmarks. And even if you remove the landmarks, other experiments show that they can essentially triangulate and find the center of almost any given space, be it circular or triangular or square. They just have this really terrific spatial sense.
This sense of space comes in handy when the chickens want to visit their human neighbors.
For the longest time, the chickens just would not go over the small, low stone wall that separated our property, even though it was right next to the barn. Well, then these two wonderful little girls and their mom moved into that vacant house. And the little girls are always over our house, and we were always over their house. And as soon as they got home from school, we were petting the pig, we were feeding the chickens, we were baking cookies, we were reading animal stories. I was going over there to see their artwork. And then the chickens started crossing the low stone wall and spending time in their yard. They annexed their property. And the way they decided to do that, I'm absolutely convinced, is that they are so attuned to a social situation that they realized our two families had become one. And therefore, that yard was now their yard as well.
As fun as it was to have this flock of chickens living with her, Sai soon encountered an obstacle that made keeping the chickens safe nearly impossible. Local predators, who thought that chickens were a tasty snack.
Here in New Hampshire, we have seen a huge resurgence of the predators who were here long before we were. And I am grateful for this. We have not just, you know, foxes and hawks, which we always had. We've got bobcats in our yards now. I mean, they're not there all the time, but a bobcat did kill one of my chickens. We have bears roaming through our yards. They belong there. This is their land, and I'm glad that they're coming back. And when all but one of my hens had been taken by predators, I then faced the question of, can I make a safe enough place for them to live and still have freedom? And the setup at our old house and barn just wasn't going to do it. So I took my last remaining lady and gave her to a neighbor down the street. And she had a terrific setup. Her house faced the barnyard. And so she went out of her front yard and she was right in the barnyard. She was frequently outdoors gardening. She had two young kids who loved to play outside. The chickens could roam free almost all the time. And when they weren't free, they had a very spacious pen. It was pretty much a Fort Knox of a pen. So I felt that was the best thing to do for everybody.
Even though Sai was sad to see her chickens move on, she knew that she was still able to appreciate all the lessons her chickens taught her.
Game birds, like chickens, can hatch instantly. They can run, their eyes are open, they can peck, they know their mother. They will instantly follow the large moving object in their field of vision, which is supposed to be their mother. But in my case, my chickens followed me, because it was me. And in this way, I became an honorary member of the flock, an honorary chicken. You know, with all of these animals, what I want is a glimpse of the wider world. And you know how a journalist will embed in a group to really know what it feels like to be a member of that group? That's what I aspire to attempt to do with animals. I want to know, what's it like to be you? And isn't this what we all want when we love someone? What is it like to be you? I want to know that, and I welcome whatever you're going to show me. Because whatever you're going to show me is going to be something I'm going to love.
Chickens are another group of awesome animal friends, and they help us see how much wonder there really is out in the natural world. This summer, take some time to watch the animals in your life. You might learn something that surprises you.
Of joy and of alarm.
A quick word for you parents. This is Marcus Smith. I'm host of the Constant Wonder podcast, source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode for kids because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff that kids just love. But you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to Cy Montgomery and her many animal friends. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episode is titled Learning Ultimate Empathy from Chickens. We actually think you're going to love more than just one episode of our podcast. It's an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. Do you remember when you had time for wonder? We suspect you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.